We can maybe just mute all the other mics. How's everyone doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm still getting a lot of feedback. Check, check. Hello, hello. I think it might be the game, maybe, or some of the mics might be still live. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started while I'm sure it'll take care of itself. As we're gathered together in person, you know, it's still really a great reminder that I'm pretty sure everything's up.
One of those microphones is too close to you.
Check. Hello, hello. Is that better? Thank you, Wayne. Not all heroes wear capes. So who here has ever felt a bit timid about their faith in Jesus? Okay, I still hear you. You guys hear it, right? We're going to have to take care of this before us. I don't want it to be a distraction to you guys. I don't know.
That was muted.
It's muted. Hello, hello. Okay, yeah. You turn the game down? Yeah, that's good. Maybe turn it down a little bit more if you can. All right. A little bit better. So we're going to talk today about what it means to be bold for Christ. And so the question I wanted to start today's message with is, who here has ever felt a bit timid about their faith in Jesus? You know, when we hear the word timid, probably, you know, what comes to mind is maybe a little child who's scared, maybe kind of curled up in a corner, scared, timid. But I think a lot of times with our faith, though we might not think ourselves to be timid, actually when it comes to sharing or being bold, we actually fall into that category, that description. You see, maybe we feel like at times there's opportunities for us to share about our faith or about the gospel. And maybe we feel like we missed out on those kinds of opportunities at times in our lives. You know, maybe when someone said something negative about Jesus or about his followers, about fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we had an opportunity to be bold, but instead we remained silent. And that could be for a number of different reasons. But God calls for every single believer of Jesus, every person who are part of the people of God, to be bold for Christ, to be bold because everything in our lives is centered in our relationship with Jesus. And so I'll admit, and I'm sure all of us here can admit as well, it's not always easy to stand up for our faith. Maybe in this church building, when we say everyone rise together as we sing songs of praise, maybe here it may be easy because we know that we're in a sort of secure place where with brothers and sisters in Christ, or at least those who are interested in learning more about Jesus, so we can stand, we can sing, we can raise our hands, we can worship, we can declare the truth of God. But perhaps at times when we're out in our workplaces, when we're with our family members who don't know Christ, our parents, our grandparents, maybe even our children, maybe at those times it's not as easy to stand up for our faith, though I'm sure all of us would hope that we could when called upon. Well, Peter and John, in the book of Acts that we've been going through, are in a similar situation. They can become timid, or they can become bold for Jesus. And I hope that through this event, in this passage, as we study it together, I hope that we'll be able to see what it means to be bold for Jesus Christ. Not just as individual believers, but also as the people of God, the family that we have here at CCC. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 together. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. This is the word of God. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Let's pray together one more time. Dear God, would you awaken us, awaken our bodies, our hearts, our minds, so that we can hear your word. Be with me as I preach your word. May your Holy Spirit work in our midst, in our hearts, so that we would become bold in our lives, living it for you. May we be witnesses sharing the testimony of your grace and power in our lives. And may we not be timid, but when we face opposition, when we face those who may seek to even destroy, that we find security in you and be bold because we know that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what does it mean to be bold for Christ? You see, it means that there are certain things we must know that we will face as Christians. It means that no matter what we face in life, the ups and the downs, even heavy opposition, perhaps even what it means to go against the grain of culture or society, but remaining firm and obedient to God, that is what boldness for Christ must be and look like for us who are his people. We keep our minds, our hearts, our purpose set upon God's truth. So how can we be bold for Christ? We're going to talk about two different things together today. It's first that we have to recognize the opposition. Recognize the opposition. In other words, know who the enemy is, right? Recognize the opposition. Secondly, we have to know if we're going to be bold for Christ, how to speak truth to opposition. So we're going to talk about those two things together as we see what it means, learn together what it means to be bold for Christ. So let's go ahead and start with that first point. If we're going to be bold for Christ, we have to recognize the opposition. And so we see in verses 1 through 7, it tells us about this situation. You see, Peter has just been sharing about how amazing it is, truly amazing it is, that this man who was a beggar, who was born lame, unable to use his legs, by the power of Christ, he was healed. He was walking around, jumping up and praising God. And now here he is, learning more about Jesus, learning more about truth from Peter and John and hanging out together with him. And as they've been sharing, it says in verse 4, that many men, around 5,000, they heard the word being preached about the truth of Jesus. They saw the miracle, connected it with who Jesus Christ is. In the name of Jesus, he was healed, and they repented and they believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, this is an awesome thing that has happened, and anyone who saw it should praise God, should worship God. Everyone should be rejoicing, right? I want us to take a moment and think about how strange this current situation is. Peter and John, through the power of God, has healed this man. They all know this man, that he was the one who sat at the front of the temple gate, asking for alms. His friends bring him there every day to ask for alms because he needed money to live, that he could not make on his own with a job of his own or anything like that. He depended on others. Charity. And so they see this man that they recognize he could never walk, but now here he is. What an incredible thing. How did this happen? But instead of praising God and worshiping him, there are now people who have come to Peter and John to oppose them, to interrogate them. You see, the priest and the captain of the temple and all the Sadducees, look what it says, they came upon them. They arrested them. They got them ready for a trial. So instead of worshiping God for this miracle healing, instead they look to bring them down, to tear them down, to oppose them. And not only to oppose them, but to oppose the one true God. And there's a little bit something we need to know about the Sadducees here. It's a little differentiated from the Pharisees. The Sadducees did not believe in the power of the resurrection. And so when it says that they were greatly annoyed, look what it says, they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So there was something about their own theology about God and about resurrection. They said, no, there's no such thing as resurrection. And now here's Peter and John testifying that the reason this person was healed, the power by which this person was healed, was through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you see, it hurts their power, if you will. It hurts their theology. It hurts their teaching. And so rather than praising God or seeking how maybe we were wrong, maybe we need to see who this Jesus guy is, instead they arrest them to bring them in for interrogation. They're annoyed. Can you imagine that? Someone who could never walk since they were born, now walking around and praising God. They're like, are you serious? They're not like, wow, that's amazing. Tell us more. They're like, no way. This can't be right. We got to figure out what's really going on here. Because that doesn't work with our reality. That doesn't work with how we view truth. So they're annoyed and they ask this question: who gave you the power to heal this man? By what power or by what name did you do this? So recognizing the opposition, like obviously here it's very easy, right? They're being arrested. They're being put on trial. And so the Sadducees and the captain of the temple, right? They are, in one sense, the real opposition. And it's not something to be taken lightly. Peter and John are being put on trial by the Sanhedrin, which is the highest court and governing body in Jerusalem. And this was the same group that was responsible for setting forward the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, setting that into motion. And so Peter and John's lives are genuinely in danger. And for what? For proclaiming the truth of Jesus. For what? For being part of an amazing miracle that's done by the power of God. And so there's a lot to learn from the events in this passage. And so when I say recognize the opposition, we have to remember that God reminds us we are not just living in a physical world. We are not just living in a place where it's now and then when we die, everything ends. No, we are spiritual beings, and the battle that we face each day, it's not just simply who is against me, but there is a spiritual battle that is taking place. And so recognizing that opposition means we must know as believers there is an enemy that wants to tear us down. There is an enemy that wants to coax us into living like the rest of the world. There is an enemy that wants to tempt us to disobedience from God and his word. And a lot of it sounds very sweet. Success, popularity, relationship, all these different things that are kind of dangled in front of you. Do live for all these other things. So we have to recognize that there's opposition. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this: for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is reality. And if you go about your life not recognizing that there is opposition against you, if you're a believer of Jesus, simply because you believe in Jesus, then you are going to be unready, unprepared for when the opposition comes to take you or to tempt you. We have to be rooted in the Word of God, recognizing the opposition, not being fearful or easily tempted, but no, we can be bold for Christ when we recognize the opposition. And then now we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to speak to that. But I just want to stay here for a moment. I mean, that's such a powerful verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but there's cosmic powers, present darkness, spiritual forces of evil. There will always be opposition to Jesus Christ. And so if we follow him, we will face opposition as well. See, we're called to be in the world, but we are no longer of the world. We have to learn how to swim against the current of society, swim against the current of culture. We have to go against the grain at times, and that doesn't always feel very good. That's where some of the timidity comes from. Because we just want to look like everyone else. We just want to fit into the culture. We want to fit into society. Look at what my worldly friends have. I want that too. And what do you think social influencing is? It's people showing what they have. Trying to get other people to want what they have. Money, power, popularity, likes, all these different things. I mean, that's the way of the world. That's actually the opposition that this is talking about. We can't just kind of blindly live life and think, oh, well, that's cool, that's cool. Well, these different things are happening. There are forces at work against us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Let me say that one more time. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, persecution comes in a lot of different forms. Sometimes we get caught up in the world and the cultural forces that seem to dictate what is right and what is wrong and shape much of society and their thinking. But recognizing the opposition is important. And the only way that we can do that is when we're rooted in the Word of God, when we know what God tells us is right or wrong. We learn to be bold for Christ in how we live, choosing obedience even when it's difficult. You know, I've heard some people share, Christians, faithful Christians, and yet, when I ask them if they've ever shared their testimony with their friends who do not know the Lord, they say, hey, that can be social suicide. If I let people know that I follow Jesus, then their whole picture of who I am changes. You can't be in if you're a Christian. You know, if you tell people that you are waiting to have sex, or engage in sexual activity until you're married because of your faith in Jesus, you may be mocked or ridiculed, called a prude. If you share about your belief that God is the only creator and that he made this world, that we didn't evolve from prokaryotes and eukaryotes to lizards, to birds, to mammals, and then finally the human being was evolved. If you tell them, no, God created Adam and Eve, the first man and woman in this world, there may be people who look at you and say, you're not intelligent. You're irrational. If you believe that God shows us clearly in his word that he created man and woman, male and female, he created them, or that he intended for marriage to be between one man and one woman, you might be called a hateful person, a homophobe, an unloving bigot. And the list goes on and on. But being bold for Jesus means holding on to the entirety of his teachings and his word by grace, by God's love, but still holding on to truth and loving those who are not living according to God's truth, but showing them Christ, showing them truth, preaching it through the way that you live your life. You can do that without giving in, without becoming like the world. Remember, we are in the world, but if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, the reason that we have to be bold, even just by who you are, is because we are no longer of the world. So recognize the spiritual battle. It's not just politics. It's not just policy. It's not just different thoughts that people want to share and discuss. And oftentimes there is a genuine attack on those who are trying their best to be obedient to Christ by following the word of God as he has given it to us. So recognize the opposition. Because sometimes, I'm going to say it right now, the opposition doesn't feel so opposite. In fact, the opposition can feel very inviting. A lot of the world's ideas and views, they seem very sweet to the ear. But the word of God, that's what we stand on. That's what we hold to as believers of Christ. And that's why we can be bold for Christ when we recognize the opposition. But we need to speak truth to opposition. This is the second point. And speaking truth always means speaking truth in love. Now, I don't want to get away from that, okay? Recognizing the opposition doesn't mean, okay, now I have nothing to do with people who don't know Jesus. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean, no, now I have nothing to do with people who are not living according to what the Word of God says. No, you are still called to love. You are still called to preach and teach and share truth in love. You see, let's not get away from the reality that if you are being opposed as a believer of Jesus Christ, according to doctrine or different things that the Bible teaches, it's because the world has already also gone against Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, your salvation, your righteousness that has been given to you by Christ. You see, your boldness comes out of your love for Jesus. It doesn't come so I can say, hi, you're opposite of me, I'm right, you're wrong. It's not opposite, I'm high, you're low. No, it's opposite. God, by his grace, has changed my life, my purpose, my reality. And I can no longer live for the things of this world. I can no longer be like you because God has changed me and transformed me from the inside out. So speaking truth to opposition, but in love. Verse 8 through 12, we see Peter, it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So the opposition is there. How do Peter and John respond? They respond by being bold for Christ, by speaking truth. Now, it's important we don't go past this part where it says, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not his eloquence or his strong words that make an impact on the people around him. It's God working through him. And so when you speak truth to opposition, you can't simply hammer people over the head with the Bible. I think sometimes that's what people do. They say, okay, well, I know this is wrong in the Bible, so boom, I'm just going to hit you over the head with what the Bible says. But there's something about being intimate in your relationship with Jesus, that you're growing in your walk with the Lord, that you can say that when you share truth, it's out of conviction. Not to prove yourself right, not to lift yourself up, no, but to glorify God. You're filled with the Spirit as you take the truth, even in the midst of society and culture that's moving one way and filled with the Holy Spirit, boom, you're going against the grain. You're being bold for Christ simply by following the Spirit and the truth that God gives to us. You know, I think that's also comforting for a lot of us. Not everyone is always outgoing. Not everyone likes to speak out in public. You know, some people may feel like they're more introverted than extroverted. We look around and maybe there are those who are more naturally gifted in speaking or sharing testimony. But we're not talking about the natural here. It doesn't matter what your natural giftings are, okay? I'm going to say this right now. I've heard way too many people say, well, I'm not so good with my words. You know who else said that? Moses. And look what God used him to do for the people of Israel, to bless them, to be a part of the salvation from slavery in Egypt. To us as God's people, he gives that same power to us. So you don't have to be timid. You can be bold for Christ because it's the Holy Spirit, not your natural giftings, but the supernatural gifting of God that he gives to every single believer. That means every single believer, no matter what your preferences are, your Myers-Briggs, your Enneagram, whatever all those different personality things are, you can be used by God for his glory. Amen? And he wants you to be part of that. He wants you to be part of speaking truth to opposition. Now, those of us who are students, I'm sure you see it, whether it's directly, personally against you or not, there's opposition everywhere. Worldly living, worldly teaching, and it can be very, very attractive. But God says there's something far greater than this world, something far greater than the things that pass, some identity that's far greater than your gender or your sexual identity, all these different identities that come up, even more than your race, your ethnicity. You know what the identity that can satisfy you in life is? Only one thing. Is that you're a child of God. When you're forgiven, redeemed, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our identity as people of God. That's our primary. So be bold for Christ. Simply by obeying him. Simply by growing in your walk with him. Simply by depending on the supernatural of God. And you see, God had already promised this to Peter, that this would happen. In Luke chapter 12, verse 11 to 12, this is what it says. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you that very hour what you ought to say. Isn't that awesome? It was already promised that he would not have to worry because it's not on him. God will give him the words. And as he uses these words, empowered by the Holy Spirit, many come to know Christ, but also he's speaking this truth directly to the opposition. And in verse 12 of our passage, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So as he's speaking truth to them, he outlines the gospel. He actually offers up the reality that they too, if they would just listen, open their heart, repent, and believe, those Sadducees right then and there, those leaders of the temple right then and there, if they would just repent and believe, they will become a believer of Jesus Christ, part of the true people of God. You see, he's saying to these Jewish rulers who know the scripture, the Messiah has been revealed in Christ Jesus. The leaders who would gladly have agreed that it is only God who can bring salvation to the people. In fact, they're awaiting the Messiah, but they're unable to see that Jesus is the one who has come and made it possible. That Jesus is the one who fulfilled the scripture. So how is your life? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you speaking truth to opposition? Just in the way that you're living, in the way that you treat other people with respect and loving kindness. By standing up against the popular ideas of the world, because you know that God knows your heart, because God has given you his truth. Even if it's social suicide, even if you're going so against the grain that people might mock or ridicule you, even if it may cost you your job, your livelihood, will you be bold for Christ? That's the question always first is, am I honoring God in this? Am I obeying God in this? Am I following Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit in this? Too often we look at the possible outcomes and then we choose. Well, if I do this, then this person might say that. Well, if I do this, then this could happen. I could lose this, or this could change, or that could be altered. No, start with, does this honor God? Am I speaking truth to opposition by showing them my decision-making, by showing them what my motives and my purposes are? Speak truth into opposition, even when it's costly and difficult. This is boldness for Christ. Verse 11 to 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. So Jesus has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The world rejected Jesus. Yet God knew that in his rejection, and even in his death, that Jesus would be the cornerstone on which everything of salvation hinges upon and is built upon. Remember that Jesus told us that those who would believe in him and follow him would face opposition. John chapter 15, verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." Again, we've talked about some different ways that as Christians in America, we can feel persecution. But you know, oftentimes we have to think on a global scale. You know, sometimes we just think about our lives in America, or even in our family or in our circles. But when we think about the body of Christ, all those who believe in Jesus around the world, there is so much persecution that is going on simply because people believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I think about Afghanistan right now and how the Taliban has completely taken over that country. The Christians who are there being dealt a choice to obey Christ and to proclaim that they believe in him, or to face death or torture or imprisonment. You know, I think back many years ago when ISIS was kidnapping people and they were putting on different videos and doing horrible things to those who believe in Jesus simply because they believe. There's real persecution through faith that is going on. And this is not to say that the persecution we face is not real. But I often wonder, and I ask myself as well, if someone were to come to me and say, right now, denounce Christ and say you don't know him, or you're going to die. Would you be able to say, yes, I believe in Jesus? Would you be able to be bold for Christ in that kind of moment? To pray for the body of Christ. There are people, brothers and sisters, that we don't know, but God knows each of them. And we can take part in praying for them. You know, speaking truth to opposition, there's no greater thing that you can do than to lay your life down for your brother. No greater thing than to proclaim Christ literally until your life. We can pray for those who are in those situations. Pray for one another in our church, that we will learn to face opposition and speak truth into opposition. That we would not cower or fear or be timid, but that we would build up one another through prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, he was persecuted, so they, the world, will persecute us as well. So have you given your life to Jesus in such a way? Being bold for Christ, it doesn't mean you have to go out and do crazy things. You know what it means we have to do simply? Is to obey. Did you guys hear that? Sometimes we think, obedience, well, okay, that's just what I got to do. No, no, no. If you truly obey God with your heart and you stick to what the Word of God says from Genesis to Revelation, not just picking and choosing, but Genesis to Revelation, the whole of Scripture, inerrant Word of God, preserved by God so that we can have it, to see his character, to know him more deeply, to live in a right way before him. That's how we go. So no, not every one of us has to sell all of our possessions and become missionaries in different parts of the world. If God calls you to that, praise God. We'll support you. We'll pray for you. But simply in your daily life, as you go to your 9-to-5s, or sometimes 9-to-7s, 9-to-8s, that you just obey God, that you walk in your relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing there's opportunity to speak truth through the way that you live, or even explicitly through the gospel. It's just, it's a part of your life. You're not forcing it, nothing's contrived, but it's because you're filled with the Holy Spirit because you're growing in your relationship. That's what I want for us to be as individual believers of Jesus Christ, but as a church, that we will be bold for Christ. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray for that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. Thank you that we can be bold for you, that we can have a relationship with you, that we can preach truth, that we can speak truth and live truth in obedience. And that it's not all on us. We don't have to holy ourselves up. We don't have to make ourselves righteous or clean ourselves up. No, through the blood of Christ, you have cleansed us. And so when we seek you with genuine hearts, God, you fill us. You've already given to us the Holy Spirit, but you give us opportunities to be bold, simply by living out our faith. God, I pray that our church will be filled with people who are living out their faith. Not just outwardly in obedience, but true knowing of who you are in their hearts. God, it's too easy to get trapped up in the things of this world. Even many churches that just look like an organization that does things. But we have a higher purpose, not because we are better, but God, because you have called us to something by your grace, using imperfect people like us, and yet we can be a part of your kingdom work. So Lord, I pray for boldness in our church. If there's anyone here who feels like they have let you down in some way, give them your grace. Remind them that there is already victory because, God, you raised Jesus from the dead. That even in our failure, that you can keep working in us and through us. That we don't have to be perfect or naturally gifted, because you will give us your supernatural, your Holy Spirit, so that we can be a part of this boldness for your kingdom work. Thank you, God. Bless our church. Empower our church with the boldness of Jesus. In your name we pray.